This morning, we bring our mini sermon series that we have been calling Intentionality to a close. So far, we have dealt with spiritual disciplines of Sabbath rest, solitude, silence, stillness, as well as listening. Today, we end the series exploring the spiritual discipline of simplicity. Laurie Hampton tells a story that I think is a good opener to our study this morning. She says, and I quote, "Several years ago, my uncle was killed in an accident. He was riding his bike along the road, staying to the shoulder, and being as careful as can be expected. At the same time, a mom and son were driving down that same road. The son had dropped something and made a reasonable request for mom to retrieve this item for him. And suddenly, in a twinkling of an eye, the vehicle they were traveling in swerved off the road suddenly and hit an innocent man riding his bike on the side of the road and killed him instantly. Had mom not allowed herself to be distracted," underline that word, distracted, "keeping her eyes on the road, her car would never have tragically swerved for that brief second." You see, since, as Hampton concludes, distracted driving is a danger to everyone. It only takes a brief second of looking at that cell phone, adjusting the music, putting on makeup, handling children, or zoning out, to lose control and cause extensive damage and put your life and that of others in harm's way. According to the Alberta Transportation, there were 21,612 convictions of distracted driving in 2020, and 176 convictions between September 1, 2011, when distracted driving legislation was introduced, and March 31st, 2020. While the trend is slowly tracking down, there is cause for concern, with more than 20,000 convictions of distracted driving per year on average. Research also shows that distracted drivers are 3 times more likely to be involved in collisions than attentive drivers. And distracted driving plays a role in 20 to 30% of all collisions in Alberta. According to the Alberta.ca website, Alberta's distracted driving law restricts drivers from doing any of the following, even while stopped at a red light or stop sign: using handheld cell phones, texting or emailing, using electronic devices such as laptop computers, video games, cameras, video entertainment displays, and programming portable audio players such as MP3 players. As Christians, we do know that we are prone to be attacked at any time, because of distractions. in the spirits. If you're not paying attention to what is going on, while you try to walk this journey of faith, you may find yourself distracted, just like a driver down the street. In the same manner, there are a lot of distractions from within and from without that keep us from focusing on what really matters in life. For example, the pursuit of money, power, influence, affluence, popularity, reputation, and image. The pursuit of happiness and the temptation to get ahead in life are all quite evident in our society today. It is unfortunate that society has become increasingly distracted due to extreme busyness and complexity. Have you noticed that often many things pull us in many diverse directions, mostly to distract our attention from seeking God first and from leading a simple life? That's why we seldom carve out time to have Sabbath rest, solitude, silence, stillness, listening both to God and our souls. We seldom do that because we are too busy chasing the wind. Our text this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 to 34, has this to say. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. May the Lord add a blessing to the public reading of his word. In Christianity today, Carol Thiessen and her colleagues writes, magazines, commercials, books, and Pinterest boards have tons of advice for leading a simple life. Magazine headlines scream at us, tips for doing it all. 10 organizing secrets. 3 must-have cleaners. 50 easy weeknight meals. They promise the secrets to a simple, organized, and contented life. But it doesn't take long to realize that all these tips and tricks just leave us with more to do, more to buy, and more to long for. It does anything but make us content. But maybe the simple life doesn't have anything to do with accumulating more and better stuff. Perhaps God's word holds the only secret to the simple but fulfilling life. A life that we all long for. As Christians, we know better. True happiness will never consist of things. contentment will never be found through satisfying the desires of this life. A culture that begs us to buy, and buy some more in an effort to make ourselves better does not leave us better off in any real sense. Doesn't satisfy. This is a strategy by the enemy of our faith to keep us distracted and focusing on wrong things. Like Ecclesiastes would say, chasing the wind. Very busy chasing the wind. That's an idiom. You never catch up. You will be exhausted before long, chasing your dream. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. What does it mean to live in simplicity? It means to slow down and clutter your life by examining your priorities in life and truly seeking the kingdom of God first. Not living for the moment. Living for that which has eternal value. In other words, the spiritual discipline of simplicity is intentionally getting rid of the things in our lives that hinder our walk with the Lord. It is learning how to put first things first. It is about being clear about our purpose and priorities in life and aligning them with the will of God. When you are clear about your purpose and your priorities in life, you can painlessly discard whatever does not support these goals. Whether it's clutter in your cabinets or commitments in your life or on your calendar, if you show me your schedule, I will tell you are either chasing the wind or destroying your life. Just by the schedule itself, I can tell how busy your life is chasing the wind. So right now you're thinking through your schedule and you're saying, am I chasing the wind? Probably that's a very good question to ask yourself at this moment. Victoria Moran wrote, a simple life is not seeing how little we can get by with. That's poverty. But how efficiently we can put first things first. Kind of like minimalism. Minimalism is the process of identifying what is essential in your life and eliminating the rest. Minimalism can help us find freedom from fear, anxiety, worry, guilt, and depression, and from being overwhelmed with life. It can also help us find freedom from the traps of the consumer culture we've built our lives around. Now, that doesn't mean there's anything inherently wrong with owning material possessions. Don't get me wrong. But the problem has to do with the meaning we assign to our possessions. We tend to give too much meaning and value to stuff and more stuff. That we often forsake our health, relationships, and our faith, including our spiritual and personal growth. We tend to neglect that in pursuit of the dream. One would ask, what often keeps us from living in simplicity? What often keeps us from living in simplicity? And that brings us to our first point. According to our text, what keeps us distracted and not living in simplicity is worrying or being anxious about the cares of this world. Worrying or being anxious about the cares of this world. And believe me, they are many. That picture on PowerPoint is a very good example of what that looks like. It looks like dread, stress, no sleep, fear, worry, anxiety, unmet expectations, debt, bills, headache, and just exhaustion. That's what that looks like. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 32 and 34 says, "So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans run after these things also. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Therefore," 34, "do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble for itself." Don't add some more. Because of the ill effects of worry, Jesus tells us not to worry about those things that God promises to provide, like food, shelter. Worry may damage your health, disrupt your productivity, negatively affect the way you treat others, and reduce your ability to trust God for your life. So you have to do it yourself because you don't trust God. Mark chapter 4, verse 19 says, "But the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth and the desires for other things come in and choke the word, making it unfruitful." This is from the parable of the sower. The seed that was choked by the thorns of this world that choked the seed as it was trying to germinate, and destroyed it before it could even bear fruit. Worry will do that to you. The deceitfulness of wealth will do that to you. Even if you had to gain the whole world, what are you going to profit from it when you lose your soul? So losing your soul does not just mean at the end of the world when judgment comes. You can lose your soul right now trying to pursue your dream. Have you ever met somebody who said to you, or somebody, "You are soulless, you have no soul"? It's because sometimes you lose your soul trying to pursue the dream, and you step on other people's heads. You don't even care. You have no kindness, no compassion, because you are so consumed with what you want to get. Because the end justifies the means. One pastor says, what usually makes us to be unfruitful and taking our eyes off the Lord is worries and anxieties about our future and security, the cares of this world, deceitfulness of worldliness, lust, coveting, including desire to accumulate more and more things. When we find ourselves worrying, it is because we are relying on ourselves instead of the Lord. When we insist on trying to take responsibility for things that only God can do, we get weighed down by burdens that are far too heavy for us to bear. It is Satan's desire, sense, to keep us busy chasing the wind. His strategy is to complicate or confuse our lives with worldly pursuits, which have no eternal significance, so that we can neglect to seek God and His kingdom first. As your life becomes so overcrowded and confused with ungodly pursuits and clutter, is there anything in your life compromising your commitment to Christ? How can you minimize or get rid of those distractions? Here are a few suggestions from Let's Cultivate Simplicity and Solitude by A.W. Tozer. Retire from the world each day to some private spot. That's solitude. Stay in the secret place until the surrounding noises begin to fade and God's presence envelops you. Stop trying to compete with others. Learn to pray inwardly every moment. Read less, but read more of what is vital to your inner life. Never let your mind remain scattered for a very long time. Call home your wandering thoughts. Gaze on Christ with the eyes of your soul. And lastly, practice spiritual concentration, which is stillness and listening. Listening not only to the voice of the Spirit, but the nudging of the Spirit. What are those promptings that you're receiving in your heart? God might be speaking to you. There are many ways God speaks to us, but one of them is a gentle voice, the nudging of the Spirit. For me, personally, the peace in my heart, something I call the peace of the belly, just to add humor to my life, peace for the belly. Lastly, the only remedy to the distractions of life that cause us to worry is to seek first God's kingdom. Verse 33 of our text says, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The New Living Translation says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and He will give you everything you need. Not everything you want. Everything you need. There's a big difference there. To seek first the kingdom of God above all else means to put God first in your life, to fill your thoughts and intents of the heart with God's desires, to take His character for your pattern, to serve and obey Him in everything, trusting that God will take care of your needs despite how things may look right now. So do not despair, do not panic. God did not go to sleep. He watches over you day and night, because you are the apple of God's eye. And that means nothing happens with your life that gets God by surprise. He knows it even before it happens. He will raise a standard against the enemy, and the enemy will not prevail, because he is God. Let God arise, and his enemies be scattered in diverse directions, because he is God. And that's the kind of God you serve. And remember, he's your father. He cares about you. He cares about you. Now, seeking the face of God could be achieved by prayer, solitude, silence, meditating on the scriptures, and listening to the gentle voice of the Spirit, seeking godly counsel from mature believers and God's word, and through accountability and support from the community of faith. By a show of hands, as we begin our descent here, how many this morning have ever been jolted awake or scared to death when you suddenly drove over Rambo strips? Rambo strips, also known as sleeper lines or alert strips, are road safety features to alert inattentive or distracted drivers of potential danger. By causing a tactical vibration and audible rumbling transmitted through the wheels into the interior of the vehicle, a driver is alerted to what is coming or the danger ahead of him. A Rambo strip is applied along the direction of travel, also following an edge line or center line, to alert drivers when they drift from their lane. Drift from their lane. Rambo strips may also be installed in a series across a direction of travel to warn drivers of a stop sign or to slow down due to reduced speed, or a sign coming up, approaching a busy intersection, especially with range roads. You see that a lot because there are no traffic lights out there. Now, I hope you have a picture of Rambo strips. They are not there to inconvenience you or to scare a hell out of you. Sorry, excuse my language there. They are not there to jolt you awake, even though that might happen. They are there for your safety. They are your friend, not your enemy. Now, that's a great analogy for how seeking God and his righteousness through scripture, accountability, and godly counsel from the community of faith could serve as our Rambo strips. When we are distracted and are in danger of running off the road, not knowing where we are going, or simply busy just in pleasure and the vanity of vanities, when we get distracted from what is truly important in life, we sometimes need a Rambo strip moment. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 15 says, "The way of the arrogant fool who rejects God's wisdom is right in his own eyes, but the wise and prudent man is he who listens to counsel." Don't ignore those rumble strip moments in your life. Don't ignore them, because they might just save your life. In conclusion, let me ask you a personal question. What is really important to you? Is it people? Is it objects, possessions, goals, or other worldly desires? They all compete to be priority in your life. And they can potentially become most important to you and replace God in your life if you do not intentionally choose to put God first in your life. Karen Bernard writes, "Choosing to be accountable and submissive to godly counsel prevents us from running off the path and injuring ourselves and others. The strength of our rumble strip lies in how well our feedback is based on the authority of God's word, as well as our commitment to the desired destination." If you choose to ignore rumble strip moments in life, you may not get to your destination and you may not achieve the goals that you want to achieve. Because without God, life is empty, meaningless, meaningless, says the preacher. Vanity of vanities. As I close, I have a personal question to ask you. What is God saying to you right now, through this message? If you were to bring me this message down to one or two things that God spoke to you, what would that be? And what do you think God wants you to do about that? Let's go and be doers of the word and not hearers only. Why don't we rise to our feet as I pray? Let's pray together. Lord, there are so many distractions in this world that tempt us every day to keep our eyes off the road. They tempt us every day to go against the will of God in our lives. The purpose that we are here for, to serve God, to love God with everything we've got, but please help us, Lord, not to be victims to the pleasure, the temptation, the pulls of this world that try to distract us every day. We humbly come before you and we submit to the leadership of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Help us to open our eyes and see the devil for who he is. For he comes as an angel of light. Help us, Lord Jesus, to keep our eyes on the goal, on the reward that has been set before us, like Jesus, who set his eyes on the reward that was before him, enduring the power of the cross, triumphing over all the powers of darkness and the forces of the enemy for our sake, so that we may have life and have it in abundance. Help us to emulate him, Lord Jesus, and to run the race, maintaining our lane so that we are not disqualified. We thank you, Lord, for this message. May it resonate with our hearts, and as we go home, may we go and by the Spirit try to live this out to the glory of your great name. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit go before each one of us, now and days to come, because we ask it in the mighty, marvelous, worthy name of Jesus. And somebody in the house said amen.